Ben Zelinsky, probably sick of getting our phone call here at WGN once we discovered how great of a reporter he is and the work that they all do at Capital News Illinois. We can't stop calling you, Ben. Thanks for joining us again, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Don, anytime.
Have you gotten any rest since the legislative session ended? Is this the time when you might take a vacation, Ben, if you were to take one?
Yeah, maybe. It's been okay, though. It wasn't too bad. We wrapped up around 1:30 on Sunday morning, so it's honestly earlier than most other years, actually.
Yeah, there you go. The budget had to get passed. Well, explain that again. The midnight deadline on the 31st was what? To just do it by a simple majority, right?
Yes, exactly. So if it would have gone past midnight on the 31st into June 1st, it would have required a 3/5 majority, which at least on the House side they had. So lawmakers didn't really run into any issues getting the budget out the door this year.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk a little bit about the budget. What are your key takeaways that you think our listeners might want to know about?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things to note is despite the spending increase, it's about $2 billion more than the current year's budget. A lot of what's in this budget is really staying flat. There's not a lot of spending growth outside of a lot of the key areas, which would be pensions, education, health care. The lawmakers really decided to kind of tap into some other state funds in order to find some new revenue that can be spent more immediately rather than sitting in a fund for a specific purpose, potentially to be used at a later date. So they got a lot more flexibility out of the spending portion of this budget that will really help them, I think, in this current year. There was obviously $1 billion worth of new revenue. Some of those were through tax increases, especially on businesses that operate outside the state of Illinois. Businesses operating outside the state are going to have more taxes to pay, especially the higher earning businesses like Amazon, for example. There's also the new tax on tobacco products, vape products, that has been increased to 45% of the purchase. So, you know, lawmakers, I think, overall have really just kind of looked at ways to try not to tax people too much, but they've also tried to rein in spending a little bit, I think, in this year's plan.
Okay. And nowhere in this budget was the transit bill, right?
Nowhere was there any transit. The transit funding is the same as it's always been, which is the problem, is that there's still a $771 million gap that's going to have to be figured out by some point this year.
And when is that going to be tackled? Is this an immediate, okay, we didn't get it by this deadline, let's work on it over the summer, hammer it out in the fall? Is there a special session that needs to be called? How does this actually end up happening?
Yeah, as I've talked to lawmakers throughout the week, it sounds like they're really leaning towards having the conversations throughout the summer, and then they will come back for their normal fall session, which will more than likely be in October, and they're going to hammer it out then. So that's really going to put these transit agencies up against a very tough deadline, because the transit agencies pass their budget in November. So they're going to have really just a matter of weeks to kind of figure out what has changed, because they're going to have a lot of those budget conversations over the next few months, assuming that new state revenue is not going to be there and there's going to have to be service cuts made. So you're going to hear a lot about service cuts and layoffs of transit employees in the coming months. Lawmakers still have some time to save that from happening, but it's going to definitely look like a dire situation.
Would that require a 3/5 vote now that it's going to be in a fall session, or since it's not exactly a budget issue, it falls under a different rule? I don't know. How does that work?
Yeah, any bill that takes effect immediately, and the transit bill would be one of those, would need the 3/5 vote, which is where I think we're going to see a challenge. The Senate did pass a transit reform plan on May 31st that the House just simply wasn't ready to take it up. And, you know, it did not receive the 3/5 majority in the Senate, which is fine. The House can take this exact same bill up and pass it with a 3/5 vote. But it seems just unlikely right now that any transit funding legislation is going to have a 3/5 vote, because there's just so many tax increases that lawmakers are looking at. And a lot of them, especially the lawmakers from the suburbs, are pretty concerned about what this would mean for their communities. It would mean higher housing prices, certainly lost revenue for local governments. So, you know, I think there's a lot of concern that is really going to need to be ironed out here in the coming months in order to have any sort of support to actually get a bill across the finish line, especially with a supermajority vote.
supermajority of 3/5 the Dems have in the House, I think you mentioned. Do they not have that in the Senate anymore?
They do have it in the Senate. They have 40 Democrat senators there, but the transit bill only passed with 32 Democrat votes. So it was definitely well short of the full number of senators in that chamber. So that's where we think there's going to be some issues.
Okay, so the governor gets a budget to his desk. He gets other bills, hundreds of bills to his desk, as you were writing too, including one we chatted about that looked like it went through, right? Public defender offices, how that all gets maybe a little bit more money and resources towards.
Yes, so that's one of more than 400 bills that are on the governor's desk at some point this summer. And this bill would really kind of, the goal, like you said there, is basically to get more funding and resources to public defenders. Virtually every public defender office in the state is severely understaffed. I spoke to a Champaign County public defender who has more than 500 cases on their docket at some cases for just a single attorney. And, you know, that's really obviously a big challenge because public defenders provide a very valuable service of criminal defense because you're innocent until proven guilty. But if your defense is overwhelmed, it's very hard to get a good defense in your case. So hopefully the idea with this bill is that there's going to be more resources coming into county governments in the coming years from the state that will be able to alleviate some of this burden and will actually get a better idea of what resources public defenders need in the future.
That bill, you say, passed along party lines. Unanimous passing of both House chambers is pretty rare these days, maybe for proclamations, but it seems like everyone got on board for safer baby food, right?
Yeah, that obviously wasn't that controversial.
Right.
Lawmakers are certainly looking at, you know, ways to improve public health things. This has been kind of a big initiative for them in recent years. So this legislation would really kind of put some limits on toxic metals that can often be found in baby food. You wouldn't be able to sell any products that contain these metals in the state of Illinois. There would certainly be new labeling requirements under this if the governor signs it. So it's really just another regulation kind of aimed at, you know, improving public health.
The swipe fees battle, what is the story that you were writing about earlier this week? The General Assembly approving a partial ban on swipe fees. What are those?
Yeah, so these are very little noticed things that really credit card and debit card companies are kind of eating, I think, on their own. These are little charges for the transaction of actually using your credit card. Mm. And this doesn't ban these charges outright, but it bans them on when, I guess, taxes and tips are taken out of that charge. So you go to a restaurant, maybe there's a sales tax, there's certainly the tip portion of the transaction, and the credit card companies would not be able to charge these fees on the tax and tip portion of the transaction. They can still charge it on the main portion of the transaction for whatever good or service you're actually buying. And that's where this has gotten really complicated because the banking companies are saying that it's very hard for them to differentiate between this. They didn't have enough time to roll out new computer systems in order to be compliant with Illinois' law, which is actually the first in the country as far as we know. So that's where this has really become kind of a complicated issue, and lawmakers voted to extend this enforcement deadline on the ban out from this July up to next July in 2026.
So if a customer went to a restaurant and the whole bill, including the tip and the tax, was $40 and they swiped their credit card, the restaurant then has to basically pay the credit card company, at least before this bill, the full transaction fee for using the credit card on the full $40. Now, essentially, let's say it was an $8 tip and $2 in taxes. Now the restaurant's only on the hook for what they provided, the service and the food they provided, of $30 as opposed to $40. That's now what they have to pay the transaction percentage on. Did I explain that at all correctly?
I think you explained it correctly. It's a super complicated issue, and there's entire legal questions about if this law is even constitutional and follows federal banking law.
Right. Yeah, I see why small businesses wouldn't want to pay the transaction fee on the tip. because they don't really get to control the prices of what a tip may be. Someone leaves a giant tip, great on them, great for the server, not so great for the restaurant, who then has to pay the percentage to the credit card company for the cost of doing business. Okay, last story I want to have as we do a roundup of basically everything you've written in the past week or so. I didn't hear anything about this U.S. Supreme Court case that they are going to hear based on an Illinois Republican's challenge to mail-in voting. How did this go over my head, Ben?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, is in the back of our minds, is this long-running court case is really what this is. So Representative Mike Boss, he represents the southern third of Illinois in the U.S. House, and he filed a lawsuit back in 2022 challenging Illinois' mail-in voting laws. He's arguing essentially that it's unconstitutional and it violates the federal law establishing a single election day on a Tuesday in November. And his argument is, well, if you are allowed, like in Illinois, to count ballots beyond election day for 14 days as they come in, you know, you're essentially extending election day out. Mike Boss has been shot down by two lower courts, both the trial court and a federal appeals court, but the Supreme Court has agreed to hear his appeal on the grounds of that he lacks standing in this case. So what the Supreme Court is going to rule on, which is a very key difference here, the court's going to rule on if Mike Boss is allowed to sue over this issue in his capacity as a political candidate. The lower court said he doesn't have that ability because he did not suffer any harm in the legal world on this.
He won.
The Supreme Court is not going to be ruling. Exactly. He won his elections, and frankly, he won his elections with three-quarters of the vote in his district. So he's a very popular lawmaker in his district. So I think it's really key to note that the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to be evaluating Illinois' mail-in voting law. If Mike Boss receives a favorable ruling in this case, the case is going to go back to the lower courts, and then the lower courts will evaluate the state law.
Yeah, just to make sure people understand, you have to have standing. This came up a lot when we were discussing the student loan forgiveness plan that had been universally applied, the $10,000 to people, and there were states that were suing, and that was one of the main issues the Supreme Court faced a couple of years ago. Do these states have standing? Show me the harm of forgiving student debt for people. What was the harm to the states? Eventually, the Supreme Court ruled that they did have standing, and that gave them propelled them forward to eventually win their case overall. Mike Bost won his election, so the lower courts have said, "Well, you haven't been harmed by what you're bringing," and now the Supreme Court will hear that. Well, I am interested in that because if it had been that they were going to hear the idea that election day is election day only, boy, that would impact so many other states that have mail-in voting or early voting for days and days and days.
Yeah, this certainly probably would have been a landmark Supreme Court case, potentially. And, you know, it certainly still could be. We could see this case back in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, depending on how it all goes in the lower courts, and if the court even wanted to take this up again in the future. And, you know, Boss on his side, he's, you know, acknowledged that there has been some conflicting rulings over the years in various other states and various other courts about mail-in voting. So he's arguing that, you know, it's time for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide this case once and for all. How does mail-in voting work in the United States? But we won't be getting an answer, at least through his case, for now.
Okay. CapitalNewsIllinois.com for all that you cover, Ben. Any other social medias you want to shout out for us or ways people can follow what you do?
You can find all of our work at Capital News Illinois on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Find my work on Twitter as well.
Are there any other stories I can dig in from your past to have you comment on right now, or did we cover them all for right now?
I think we covered at least the last week. Who knows?
Ben, enjoy some time. We're not going to ring you for a little bit. You've done great work for us and for our state. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, John. Anytime.